Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. And let me start with that a little bit on the Affordable Care Act. The public exchange in New Hampshire has been operational since October of 2013. The public exchange, you get on it by going on to healthcare.gov. We actually have about 1,000 New Hampshire residents who purchase individual dental coverage through Northeast Delta Dental on the public exchange. So despite what we all think about the Affordable Care Act and that it was cumbersome, that clearly is demonstrating that some employees whose employers didn't have dental coverage, there is a need for it. And very exciting, our private exchange, which is called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, thousands, about 10,000 people in northern New England have purchased individual dental insurance. Because basically what happened was last fall when people were struggling getting on the public exchange, we had designed about 2 years earlier a private exchange called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com, a multi-million dollar investment, and that's turned out to be a really good move because, like I said, we've had thousands of citizens of New Hampshire who purchased the individual product on DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And the great thing, of course, is there's really no difference whether you buy it on the public exchange or the private exchange, because the dental insurance premium roughly being about $35 a month, you're not going to get a tax subsidy anyway. So if you're interested and don't have dental coverage through your employer, or if you're retired or a consultant, please visit DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And I want to put a plug in, shameless plug, for the book that I co-authored with Dave Cowens. It's called There Are No Do-Overs. You can purchase that by going on Amazon.com and or the book's website, which is called BigRedFactor.com. I hooked up with Dave, and we learned that there's so many similarities between successful sports athletes, coaches, and franchises, and long-term business principles. So the concept of there are no do-overs are that there are certain key decisions where you really don't have a second opportunity to get it right. And one of them, for example, would be our decision to play and get on to the public and private exchange. It's hard to believe that it's February 8th and 9th already. The Super Bowl has come and gone. We had a huge snowstorm on Wednesday, and then yesterday, Friday, February 7th, it was Give Kids a Smile Day, and that's the good-hearted dentists of New Hampshire, the underserved population of children who are in the underserved population, got free dentistry on Give Kids a Smile Day. And people may not know this, but February is Children's Oral Health Month, so it's very important that we pay attention to that. Last week's show, we had Dr. Mitch Caray, who's one of my colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental, and he talked about the importance of oral health. And a few weeks before, I had Dr. Shannon Mills, another colleague, who gave us the 10 resolutions for good oral health in 2014. And that's on the Northeast Delta Dental website, nedelta.com, if you want to see what those are. A lot of it's common sense. For example, going to the dentist at least once a year, brushing and flossing in between visits, but there are 8 other resolutions that you might want to take a look at. Now, part of wellness is oral health, but it's also being physically active. And with me today is the renowned soccer coach of Hanover, but he has a great long history in New Hampshire, and that's Rob Grable, who is the varsity soccer coach for Hanover, New Hampshire. But Rob, you have a lot of other things in your background. So could you, for the listening audience, talk about your history dating back to when you coached hockey? I love that story. And then your history, as well as you're about to become an ordained minister, I think. So I think the listening audience would enjoy hearing that from you. So Rob, good morning. Thanks for joining me on this beautiful weekend in February. Another snowstorm on the way.
I know. We just got rid of the last one, Tom, and here it comes again. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad we have the chance to talk about things of mutual interest.
Absolutely. I always love talking with you. We always run out of time. So tell us about your history and dating back to when you were a college hockey coach, the last Division II almost champion. Tell us, start with there, and then tell us about how you got so involved with soccer.
Well, I actually was coaching soccer and hockey side by side at what was then New Hampshire College, now Southern New Hampshire University. And so naturally I took a great interest in their success this year when they won the Division II National Championship. And I was at Southern New Hampshire / NHC for 9 years, coaching both soccer and hockey. Both of those sports I had played in high school and college, and actually coached on a collegiate level before Southern New Hampshire at Oberlin College in Ohio. But I made my way to New Hampshire and spent 4 years at Derryfield School and coached the soccer team there and started the hockey program, which doesn't exist anymore at Derryfield. Soccer certainly has been persistent and successful there on North River Road. And then I moved up the street to New Hampshire College and enjoyed 9 great years there.
So you coached at Derryfield before Jeff Pill and Jeff Cousineau?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you kind of
I was at Derryfield in 75 through 79. Setting the table, if you will, for the equally renowned Coach Pill.
You got it. He was incredible. And of course, I think one of the things that Jeff Pill did was really, in my view, really elevated the coaching in New Hampshire, because he was very, you know, emphatic that people get their soccer license. And I know that one summer back in the late 90s, in one particular summer, I got my F, E, and D license all in a row. And my employees at Northeast Delta Dental thought I was crazy, because, as you know, to get the D license, you actually have to play and be in shape. So it was kind
exactly.
Of
there are they ramp it up. The closer you get to the letters, the early part of the alphabet, the more challenging it is. And you're exactly right that Jeff Pill really was in the forefront of promoting coaching education. And I think that gave rise to a generation of coaches who've done some great things in New Hampshire, coaching boys and girls soccer and really developing the kind of athletes that have no limits on what they can do. I think certainly the best and most current example of that is Morgan Andrews, who played at Milford High School and was the ACC Rookie of the Year at Notre Dame, and is the captain of the women's U-20 national team, which just this past month qualified for the U-20 World Cup. So New Hampshire is capable of producing players who can play at a very high level.
Yeah, and that's one thing I want to talk about, but just quickly on Morgan. Last year at about this time, I attended one of those union leader award recognition, and she was trying to make it in. Her parents were there because she obviously won the player of the year and so forth. And I was thinking, you know, for someone willing to get on a plane from California to fly, she ended up getting stuck in an airport. And I hear from one of the people that used to help coach her, Pat Mulcahy, that she's also, you know, a delightful young woman. So that's great to hear. So let's pause on this point. Why do you think there is a disproportionate, for such a small state, why do you think the soccer is such at a high level? And I know that, you know, an ODP and other national events, New Hampshire does, for its size, much better than you would think. Why do you think that is? Is it because of this tradition of great coaching started with Jeff and others?
I think so. And of course, the tradition actually precedes those folks. The tradition of soccer in New Hampshire can go back as far as 80 years. You know, the industrial leagues that played in New Hampshire, there were teams that were producing players who were close to playing on the U.S. World Cup teams. Some of the, for instance, the great U.S. World Cup team in 1950 that won the historic win over England in Brazil had a number of New England players on it, and there were Manchester teams and Lowell teams and Haverhill teams, so there's a long history of it. New Hampshire high school soccer just got started in the 50s, but that still gives you more than 60 years of really solid tradition of playing and coaching. And as you go through each successive generation, what you get passed on is a history of excellence. So I think it's not really a surprise that New Hampshire does well proportionally. I don't know if they do well disproportionately, but they do very well proportionately in developing athletes who are capable of playing beyond. You know, there are some players, you know, currently rising up in New Hampshire who could be the next Diego Fagundes, you know, being a homegrown 17-year-old signed by the New England Revolution. And, you know, there are kids in the pipeline who may follow that. And that, of course, leads to the interesting topic of the academy program.
Right. We'll get to that right after commercial break. But I want to, you've talked about 60 years of excellence, but I want to give you a shout out. You've already had six state titles as the head coach of Hanover High School, most recently last fall when you jumped up to Division I. So we're going to get to the topic, these changes of losing players to club teams in the academy after a commercial break. So, Rob, you're going to stay with me after commercial break. Listening audience, stay tuned. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio.
How was work, honey?
Oh, our Delta Dental rep visited. Got me thinking about my oral health, you know. Reminded me about visiting my dentist and gave me this toothbrush.
I'm glad you're excited.
Uh-huh.
But do you suppose you could not brush your teeth at the dinner table?
Huh? Oh, sure.
Thank you, honey.
As the region's most experienced dental benefits company, Northeast Delta Dental delivers unmatched local service, providing timely responses to customer questions and ensuring claims are processed quickly and accurately so enrollees feel taken care of every time.
Visit Northeast Delta Dental at nedelta.com.
Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio, returning from commercial break. And with me today is the renowned soccer coach of Hanover High School, Rob Grable, who has won, led six Hanover High School teams to championships, 2006 to 2010, so 5 years in a row. And then, of course, in 2013, and his predecessor, George Merrill, had won actually 11 championships. And in the spirit of transparency, because at the time, Bo and Hanover were in the same division, my son's played on at Bo High School. So there were many nail-biting finals that Hanover won 1-0 or 2-1 or whatever. So Rob, congratulations. And those battles of Upper Valley versus Bedford United, where we lived at the time, whatever, they were always fun. But before we get back into the question of soccer, are you now an ordained minister, or are you heading that way?
I am not ordained. There is some light at the end of the tunnel. I'm working on a master's in divinity degree, and that for me is a 6-year process because I'm doing it part time, I'm just about to finish my 5th year. So I think within a year or two, I will be fairly close to being ordained.
Right. And someone who knows had asked me, make sure to ask Rob this question. It's kind of a bizarre question. Do you think the good Lord cares about sports results like the Super Bowl or high school soccer?
I do not, which puts me in the minority.
Okay.
Because recent polls have suggested that a lot of people in this country think that God plays a role in the outcome of sporting events. And it's my personal theology that God has better things to do. It is fine to invoke divinity in asking for people to be healthy and asking them for, to be safe and asking them to learn from their experiences. As far as tinkering with the outcomes, I'd like to think that that is in the hands of the athletes without any divine providence.
Perfect. That's a that's a refreshing observation. Enjoy that. So some of the highlights of the 2013 season, as I mentioned, Hanover the last couple of years had jumped into Division One and almost won the final 2 years ago, and this year you won it all. So congratulations. And I know Bo and Hopkinton played a great match in Division Three. Tell us what you see ahead. There's a new senior all-star game in Division One, and then segue, if you would, to the academy program and why you think that may not have a deleterious effect on high school hockey, high school soccer. I mean, one of the things I always say to parents, the high school experience, I mean, to take that away from the athletes, that sort of team camaraderie, whatever. I'm hoping that soccer stays at a, you know, at an elite level at the high school level. But why don't you talk about a little bit of the new All-Star game, what you see for 2014, and then talk about the academy program.
Well, the All-Star game was new this year, and this was a Division One thing, and it was very successful. We had approximately 30 high school seniors, two from each of the Division One teams, nominated by their coaches. It was played at Exeter High School after the season was over, and it was very gratifying to see that the number one theme of the game, in addition to a high quality of play, was the camaraderie among the players. They'd seen each other all season long, played against each other. They know each other from perhaps club soccer, and it was like a reunion and a gathering of the clan. It was a very positive thing, and I'm excited by the possibility that this could expand next year into a girls all-star game as well, and then maybe something that other divisions could model, but a number of the Division One coaches, including Scott Dunlap from Concord and Jim Tufts from Exeter, and Kerry Bowles from Pinkerton, who was the prime mover in this, and we were very pleased. And I think the quality of play, not just in this All-Star game, but in Division One as a whole, suggests that even though there may be athletes who elect to choose the academy program instead of high school soccer, is not exactly going to gut high school soccer. It's my opinion, and I think I have a pretty good perspective on this, that the true championship game may very well have been the semifinal game between Concord and Hanover.
And it was great to see Concord, as you have said, Concord bouncing back to finish in the top four. That was quite a game.
Well, Concord had a number of players opt to participate in the academy program, and all but one came back this year and took Concord from being in the uncharacteristic position of being a 500 team to a team that was on the very edge of being a state champion. They certainly were the team that gave Hanover the most trouble in two games. They were the only team to hold Hanover scoreless and keep them from winning during the regular season. And the semifinal game was just as competitive, and it really echoed some of those old 1-0 Bo Hanover contests from past years.
Those were excruciating. Since you mentioned Bo, I just want to make sure I don't want to run out of time, but George Pinkham couldn't join us today, but Bo had another successful season. They made the finals. You know, they lost to Hopkinton, but the list of the top coaches who have had over 100 wins, Dave Pinkham over 500, Mike Ackerman from Woodsville, of course Dave is from Guilford, your predecessor George Merrill, 395, Jim Tufts, who you referenced, 330, George, 313, and then there's some other active coaches, as you mentioned, Kerry Bowles from Pinkerton, who you mentioned, Al Magnuson, Rob Johnstone from Lebanon, and there you are on the list, Rob Grable, already at 157, and this is like the second part of your career. So there's a lot of longevity in these famous coaches.
There is, but I think the equally exciting development in New Hampshire coaching, you see some younger coaches coming in. You know, the Bo-Hopkinton rivalry is a perfect example of this. You've got a coach at Hopkinton in Scott Zipke, who is one of the members of the Scott Dunlap coaching tree. Scott Zipke played for Scott at Concord. And Scott Zipke, in his 8 years at Hopkinton, already has 5 championships and cracked that 100 win barrier. And there are a number of other very strong coaches right under our nose here in the capital area. You know, you've got Jay Vogt doing a wonderful job with the state championship Bow Girls. His brother Jeff Vogt, always coaching competitive sides at John Stark. Peter Bisson, who got his Pembroke Academy team to one of their best finishes. You know, they barely were eked out in the quarterfinals to a very good Hollis Brookline team in Division II. So you're seeing a number of coaches stepping up, you know, the next generation, if you will. And many of these coaches are involved at a lot of levels of the game, are involved in coaching education. And I think that's another indicator that we're going to have this perpetuation of good coaching, good player development. And that means that even though some players may opt for the academy program, which I see as a good thing, I see the academy program as a very well thought out vehicle for player development at even a higher level than the high school program. And it was interesting. In the Concord versus Hanover game, both teams had a player who wasn't there because he was playing for the academy and could arguably have been the best player on that team. So I think it's possible for a team to play at the highest level in New Hampshire high school soccer and not be gutted by losing a player or two to the academy program.
Rob, thank you. That was very helpful. I'm really glad to hear that. And just as an aside, I'm going to give you an assignment. I want you to look nationally to see if there are any brother pair, Dave and George Pinkham. They have like close to 900 wins there. If there's any brothers nationally that have more than 900 wins, if you do that assignment, then I'll have you back on the show. How's that?
It looks like I'm coming back, Tom.
Okay, excellent.
Because I believe the Chisowitz brothers in New Jersey are at the very least on a par with the Pinkhams. Although the nice thing about George and Dave is that they keep cranking out these double-digit win seasons. And I think they, within a very few short years, will be probably the preeminent brother combination. But I promise to do the homework and get solid numbers for you.
Okay, because we're into data here. You know that, bro.
Oh, there's no other way to proceed than data.
There you go. Now, real quick, we only have about a minute and a half leaving off. Can you comment on two things? Why do you think, like, you know, the towns like Hanover, Bow, Hopkinton, we have about a minute. Why, culturally, why they're always good? Obviously, you're coaching as well, of course. And then talk 30 seconds on year-round play versus three-season sports, and then we have to call it a wrap.
Good. I'll give you 30 seconds on each. I think a lot of these high school programs basically perpetuate themselves by tradition. You know, I long before I showed up at Hanover, George Merrill was producing championship teams, and you know there is a climate in a community that can contribute to that, like the climate at White Mountains High School that gave us the Pinkham brothers. So Lancaster, Whitefield, New Hampshire. As far as year-round play, I think year-round play is fine. I'm a proponent of seeing players play different sports in different seasons. Some of Hanover High's best players are currently playing basketball, and they'll play lacrosse or run track in the spring. And I think that is a positive thing. It doesn't diminish their playing ability or development, and it probably is healthier in terms of avoiding repetitive stress injuries. So it's not necessarily a negative to go year-round, but you can play at the very highest level in high school and play two or three different sports.
Well, you've had two refreshing answers, the one on the Lord and the one that it's better to be an all-around athlete. And I have to have you back because you'll do the research. So, okay, Rob Grable, six-time state champion coach for Hanover, the last one being in Division I. And Hanover in total has won 18 school titles, and we've mentioned George Pinkham, and he's won four, none of which, though, were Division II because of Hanover, so in any of it.
Tom, the next time I'm back on the show, I'll tell you the secret. There's a secret to doing this, and I'll just tell the entire world what it is.
That's called the radio tease. Well, that's awesome. So, Rob Grable, thank you very much for spending this cold February weekend with me, and we'll have you back, of course. So, Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental will return next weekend.